Hello, welcome to the Elephant in the Room. This is Erin Koper. I am the president of the Allegheny County Council of Republican Women. I am sitting in studio today with David Gehring. He is a City of Pittsburgh committee man and young Republican. And I'm also in studio with our director, John Schneider. He's the man of many or few words, but he keeps us running. And I'm going to force him to participate in this show today because we're going to explain some races coming up this year. But I just wanted to start off with, we're sitting in today for Sam DeMarco. He is the host of this show. He is our chair for the Republican Party here in Allegheny County, as you all may know. And he just recently stepped down from his city council seat.
Well, he hasn't officially stepped down.
Okay, he hasn't officially stepped down, but he is stepping down because he took a job for our U.S. Senator, Dave McCormick. He is going to be the regional director here in this part of the state. And, you know, John, tell us a little bit about how this works now. When he officially steps down, what is the next, how does this work?
A few things I'll add. So Sam is going to be the Southwest, Sam's new position is going to be the new Southwest regional director for Dave McCormick. I believe their office is going to be on Grant Street, and they're going to be occupying Bob Casey's old office space, I guess, across the street from the Oxford Center. So in his new capacity is the district director. He's going to oversee the funding requests. He's going to oversee constituent affairs. If, you know, those, you know, his office is who you're going to contact if you have problems with Social Security, veterans issues, to name a few. He's also, anytime Dave, the Senator McCormick's in the district, he's going to be coordinating his events and travel and logistics and all that. So he's going to have his hands full with that. And, you know, with that said, he will be stepping down from both Allegheny County Council member at large and eventually the chairman of RCAC. So we're very sad to see him leave. I mean, it's going to be big shoes to fill. He has elevated the organization tremendously, and we're just really sad to see him leave. So, yeah.
Well, I did see, even though we saw him last night at the party, so if a lot of you were there, it was great seeing a lot of familiar faces. Going into 2025, we had our New Year's party last night. But I didn't get to talk to Sam one-on-one, but I did read in an article, because there's been a few articles published about this, that he said that he jumped at the chance to take this position with the McCormick, with the senator, because he can do more in this position than he could even on county council. So he will be, so what you just said, I mean, we're sad to see him go, but there's going to be more coming from him to help flourish our movement here.
And Sam is going to be very effective in this job here. Everybody knows him. He has contacts even across the aisle. He's worked with everybody. He's worked with a lot of people in county council. And again, he'll be kind of continuing to do the same thing, but at a different level.
That's really exciting. I just can't even imagine what it's going to look like to have a Republican U.S. Senator who lives in the city of Pittsburgh. The office will be here. And we also have a Republican Attorney General now. Like, we are going to start seeing some drastic improvements. David, what do you think?
I think it's great. And I think one thing that's really encouraging is I saw that Dave and Dina were out with Senator Fetterman and his wife. And I think those two, although, you know, they may not be the same party, and I'm sure they have differing opinions. Well, we all know for a fact they have differing opinions on many things. But one thing, just from a few of their posts that they both made, is that they've been touching base and they're excited to work together. And it seems like they do want to put some partisan issues to the side and do some good things for Pennsylvania.
Putting the country first,
well,
right?
Put Pennsylvania first.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. How about John Fetterman? He's really starting to be more likable.
I'm really surprised by that, because a lot of the stuff as lieutenant governor that he would say, he'd go on radio shows and say, I don't know if he was scamming the Democrats or...
Right.
But I mean, because he had all, when we were out knocking on doors and we were out talking to voters, I mean, we're presenting information that was true. He said, okay, I want to let prisoners out. I want to prioritize this. I want to prioritize that. And the stuff was so crazy that he was saying. Yeah. But when he got into office, he, I mean, to his credit, he really kind of came to the center of the aisle And he's not trying to do any of that far left stuff. I mean, he's really, I think, come a long way.
Now, Pennsylvania is moving more to the right, even post election. We are on the verge of flipping even, I believe, one for sure, but two more counties in Pennsylvania. I know one of the counties is just about 4,000 away, which is really nothing when you think about it. So they know that we are moving more to the right as a state. So do we think that he's doing this to keep his job? Because he was talking pretty normal, quotes, even a year ago. So before we even flip some of these counties. So we don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But whatever it is, whatever the case is, we like it. I think that this shows that we can work together. John Fetterman was actually sitting with Senator Britt on television and said, we're here to work together. And I think that is something that I think the city of Pittsburgh and some of these local races that we have coming up, I would like to see that happen more. I think that the Republicans in the city of Pittsburgh have come a long way. Mm-hmm. We really got our committee going and moving in 2022, and we've become stronger. We've grown. We've
filling slates.
Yeah, right. And we do have a race coming up local, because this year is a big race for mayor, and we have some local council and then judges. But myself, I'm considering a run for the District 2 council seat. Teresa Kale Smith, I believe, has been in office for 17 years. She is retiring. She announced her retirement. And I live in the neighborhood of Elliott, and I'm a community organizer there. And I'm considering a run. There has been articles out there that I've spoken about this. And you guys will find out more about that later in the month. But I just kind of wanted to talk about that because a lot of the press that I've been getting has been so far fair and friendly towards the idea of having a Republican win this time. And a lot of people are saying that this is the right time. We need change. We need energy. We need action. And, when you go and talk to people in the community in our district, David, because David is lives in District 2 as well, and they, we just feel on this side of the city that we are not seen. We don't get anything over here. I mean, that is across the board. No matter what political party you're on, people feel we just are forgotten about.
Well, there are a few reasons for that.
Go ahead, David.
First thing, I'd like to wish Teresa a happy retirement. Certainly hasn't been the worst representative as far as, we've had nothing but Democrats since George Washington or something in Pittsburgh. And, there's a wide range of, kind of normal Democrats, as we like to call them, on the Republican side, and then these far left progressives. And she certainly was not a far left progressive. So I would like to thank her for some of the things that she's done, but also to recognize that there are some things that she has not done respectfully, and that we would like to see a Republican get in there, and we would like to see them do. I think one of the reasons, Aaron, to answer your question, that we are forgotten is because we're sort of self-sustainable. We don't let the blight eat up our community too much down here in the South Hills. We kind of look out for our own. We're a little bit of a tight-knit community. We have, a couple bridges and a couple tunnels separating us from some of the nonsense. But I think because we haven't had major problems outside of car jackings and car break-ins.
We are Zone 6 police, yeah. So our zone is the safest zone in the city.
Well,
and we want to keep it that way.
Well, it's the...
It is the safest.
By numbers. But I think some of that comes down to the fact that after, and this is something that's not totally on Ed Gainey, because this is the legacy of Bill Peduto. Don't forget that for a second. Sometimes Ed Gainey gets a bad rap, like, oh, this police stuff is on him. It's not all on him. This is the legacy of Bill Peduto. This is what Bill Peduto intended to do. He said it over and over and over again. But, Ed Gainey has continued that. I mean, he certainly hasn't been... a change in direction, let's say. He hasn't turned away from the cliff as far as that goes with safety. But, they change things where, they're not coming in taking your reports anymore if something's like a nonviolent, crime or whatever. So, it's not as bad as some other parts of the neighborhood. But as far as their numbers, I don't believe their numbers for a second, because I just know stuff goes unreported. I mean, right. If you go on to Nextdoor,
I agree.
Or if you go on one of these Facebook community pages or something like that, you see a lot of people posting their, doorbell ring camera. People are stealing stuff off of their porches. People are stealing stuff out of their cars. There are home break-ins. So But we are a little bit isolated over here, and definitely we're a little bit underappreciated. And I know that I've talked about this for a long time, and we've gone to a lot of city meetings and planning meetings, and we've tried to talk to people about this. Unfortunately, when you go into those meetings, a lot of times, if you're in a certain neighborhood, let's say, that doesn't get as much love, you find that you go in there and you talk to people that work for the city, and they act like you're supposed to do something about it. You know, hey, in the South Hills, we don't have, we live in the city. I mean, if we were in the suburbs, I understand, I get it. If I live in the city, I expect a sidewalk. We have places that still don't have a sidewalk. You're building all these parks. You're destroying our infrastructure by putting all these bike lanes in, and we don't have sidewalks.
Some of the Democrats. So there's three Democrats that are in this race so far. I'm the only
so far.
So two. Well, one of them has made some statements in some of these articles that I've been in as well, and. What I don't understand, because this specific candidate, he's actually backed by Bethany Hallam. His name's David Binkowski. And he lives on Mount Washington. He's a newcomer. I believe he's only lived there for 2 years. He made a statement that we can't just go around arresting people. And then in the same statement, he said, we need safe parks.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, I don't understand. None of us understand how you correlate those two. Because with one just leads to the other. I mean, a park is not... So put a park in... So my city neighborhood is a little different than yours, David. We only live about 6 minutes apart.
Yeah.
You know, and I live in Elliott. And, you know, if you don't have people held accountable for... You know, crimes that we have some juvenile issues in our neighborhood as well. You know, in the summer, we had them stealing guns out of people's cars, shooting them off in the middle of the night. And, you know, you have a park, but then people are just going to gather there and do bad things. I mean, I don't understand what his statement correlating having safe places for people to go and then saying that we don't need more police on the streets, essentially.
Yeah, they never produce results on
that. I don't understand that. Well, I just don't understand it. And that's, it's really hard to...
Show me where not arresting people that are doing crime has worked. Where? Right. Point out one place. Please, just show me one place.
I just do not understand the policing strategy from these far left progressives. I mean, we are at the lowest staffing, and it was over 1,250 officers at the beginning of 2020, and now we are down to 633, and I believe that's without the new recruits, which would bump it up to a little over 700, and that's with commanders, lieutenants, and officers.
Right.
633. Getting killed
with overtime.
Right. So that's the
And again, I told you last year. No, I think it was the year before. We were out door knocking, and there was a cop. We knocked on his door, and he came out and he was like, "Oh, I just wanted to see what you guys were doing, you know, out here." And he wasn't on our list. Go figure, right? And we know why that is, because you get intimidated out of being a registered Republican if you work in the city. But he came out once he found out we were out canvassing for a candidate that he intended to vote for. I think that might have been Rocky that we were canvassing for. But young Republicans were out there, and we had a great, probably a 20-minute long conversation with this guy. And he was just telling us about everything that happened during the riots and all the overtime people were working and how many people were just waiting to put, you know, their papers in and get their 20 years and be done. And he told me, he said, I expect to see probably another 150 people gone next year. And it came to pass, as he said. But I mean, I just don't understand, and I'll say something that's a little controversial here.
Beware, David, but he's already warned us. Go on,
Dave. Well, I mean, you get these white savior liberals, right? They don't have any real black friends. They don't have any friends that are from the inner city, yet they pretend to know what the inner city wants. I went to Brashear High School, okay? I came up in the city. I came up all over the city, and I have friends all over the city that I still talk to. I served in the 128th, right here down in District 2 as well, actually, right by Brashear High School. I served down there for 16 years almost, and you know, I have troops that are, you know, from all over the city. Who do these Democrats think don't want police? You put 100 people maybe in a city of 204,000 citizens, you put 100 people on television screaming, we hate the cops, and you think that now everybody in the urban communities doesn't want police? Are you out of your mind? They want police more than anyone else. They want police more than they want them in Mount Lebanon, because that's where the violent crime is. You're not helping anybody. You go out there, they don't even go door to door. I've never seen a Democrat representative go door to door. They pay people that don't know anything about what's going on to go door to door for them, because I ran into them in Sheridan.
But I actually have a funny story about that.
These people have no idea what people in their actual districts want. Yeah. They're just going off of what's on social media.
So this past election, my Aldi's, and the one I go to, which is in McKees Rocks, which is about 5-minute drive from my house in the West End, there was a volunteer standing outside of Aldi, and he was wearing one of those pink vests about, it said, keep abortion legal. So I had a shirt on that would trigger that I was a Republican. So I had a hoodie and I zipped it up.
Uh-oh.
And I went and shopped, and I knew he was going to approach me on my way out. And he sure did. And I was very happy to speak to him. Let me just tell you guys, they signed him up to work. I'm sure he was being paid.
They're all paid like $20 an hour.
Oh, yeah, or more.
Yeah.
And he literally said to me, because I had some questions for him, and he apologized, and he goes, I honestly don't know anything about any of this. And then so I started talking to him, and you know what he said to me? Now, this was a black man. Mm-hmm. Like he was young, and he was very polite, and he goes, I'm not for abortion. And he goes, and then he started talking to me, and I said, you sound like a Republican, just about in general.
Yep.
Just not even about
yep.
abortion. And then I coached him on what the law is in Pennsylvania for having you can have an abortion up until however many months, and I coached him on how that will like no one's going to lose their right. Mm-hmm. And then he completely understood. And then I told him, you know, when the deadline was for the last day to register to vote. I told him when the deadline was for mail-in ballots. Mm-hmm. He did not know any of this because he was talking mm-hmm. to voters. They sent him out there completely
yeah.
blind and but this is a microcosm of the whole issue.
Yeah.
They're sending these people out there. And honestly, when I was doing petition signatures for one of our state representatives last year, we were in a very Republican neighborhood. We had door knocked it mm-hmm. before on a congressional race. And I knew this neighborhood, cul-de-sac, you know, like right by the airport. And there was very progressive door knockers, and they were very friendly. They said hi to me. I thought they were wearing Halloween costumes. Like, I'm not even kidding, guys. Like, I'm not, like, honest to goodness, because they were just dressed up, and they did look. Well, they actually told me that they were from the city of Pittsburgh. That Representative Summer Lee deployed them out to the suburbs to help the candidate that was running against our state representative. And so you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and they just did, they were completely.
I've had the same exact experience as you. I actually was in Sheridan because I do go into these Democrat neighborhoods. I don't care.
Yeah, me too.
I will come into the deep into the city.
Me and Dave
and
are,
nobody will David, do anything about it. I promise.
Aren't we the best tag team when we go?
We are.
We are. We're actually famous for it.
And we are.
Like, we when we go up to a door, we are just like such a good team, and we love talking to Democrats. And actually, I just want to point out, because
I mean, they're awesome. Most of them are just they're just Pittsburghers.
Well, the media, when they covered my potential run for this race, left out a very important piece of information.
Oh, I'm sure they
when
did.
I had said, because they asked me what inspired me to run for this race, and I had said I come from a political background with not only my education, because I did go to college, my minor was in political science, and broadcast news was my major, but my father was he was the director of public works. He was a zoning or building inspector for 25 years. And so, you know, as you can imagine, being a director of public works, our phones were ringing off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, he ran for city council and held various other offices my whole life. I literally met my husband's grandfather when I was 6 years old, helping my dad put a yard sign in his yard.
Now, did he come from Ireland?
Yes. Immigration. Like, I am a
Did he come legally?
Yeah. Yes. My father father was my parents moved here from Ireland. My mom's from England. My dad is from Ireland. So it was a little controversial back in those days, too, for him to marry an English woman. And my dad was from Northern Ireland. And but they had my oldest brother and sister in Ireland. And my parents moved with my dad's sister. And my brother and sister were 5 months and a year and a half old. So imagine being two very young people. You got just newly married with babies, literally babies, and then coming to America and had nothing. My dad's first car was $250, I think he said, and his very first job was $1 an hour when he came here. And so my dad, you know, he did live the American dream. We were always conservative, but this is the detail that they left out. I was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. My father was a Democrat. He was involved in Democrat politics in West Virginia. I was always conservative, but I understand.
Well, your dad was like a union Democrat, right?
No, my dad was not in a union. So that actually hurt my dad in a lot of his races because my dad was not in a union. However, but we were a steel town.
Right. Like, That's what I mean by steel. Union Democrat.
Yeah.
That he supported them, not necessarily.
Absolutely.
He was in.
Right. So, but I can connect.
I support him too, by the way.
Me too. And I connect to the Pittsburgh Democrat. And I believe for all of those reasons, you know. And so when I go door to door, I'm able, and I have flipped them right on their front porch. Have I not? You've witnessed it.
Oh, like, yeah.
Right? Well, you just ask them questions because
the Socratic
no one's asked
method.
Them. Well, yeah. and they realize they align more with you.
Yeah.
And they, I believe.
And they realize we're the normal ones as well.
Exactly. And I also believe that, for example, during, and this was back in 2022 when we were door knocking for Mike Doyle, who was running against Summer Lee, a lot of people, because, you know, they know the data and they're not going to push in areas where they know that's more conservative, especially with the Democrats. Well, when we were educating them, because Summer Lee was being quiet in certain areas due to that, because she knew that she was too far left for that, they were shocked. Shocked at where some of her policies stood. And so again, educating these Democrats, and there's so many good Democrats in District 2. And I, again, circling back to what we're seeing with John Fetterman, and then, you know, openly saying, like, let's work together. Like, that is the only way.
It's encouraging.
The only way to get Pittsburgh turned around. Yeah. And why not try and see what a Republican can do? Because, you know, our track record is, if you look at all the things that we've done in our committee, and like, we do trash cleanups, David, or I know you didn't join us this lot, but 1 year ago to the date, we actually cleaned out an encampment in the West End. We cleaned buckets and buckets and buckets of needles. I think it was up to 2,000 needles that they said that we collected.
That the Democrats hand out.
And we cleaned 100 contractor bags of debris. These people living in these tent cities that have been permissive environment under the Peduto.
About urban campers?
Yes, urban campers.
Okay.
We saw a spike in my neighborhood with petty theft. We saw open drug use in the streets. People slumped over.
Well,
how about
panhandling? How about the homes that are just abandoned? How are those going?
Well, right, and that's another thing I've talked about with the press when about this run is, and I'm not the only one. I've seen some of the Democrat candidates talk about this too. But it's a problem, and it's a citywide problem. Is the blight in the condemned homes? Mm-hmm. Why are we not doing anything to improve our neighborhoods? Actually, a long time ago, when I was in the news, when I had done that out of college, someone gave me really good advice. They said, if you ever move to another city, the best way to learn about the city is to walk through their neighborhoods.
Be careful.
No, but that, honestly though, if you were coming to a city and you were just staying in a hotel, go drive to a neighborhood and that's where you get the feel of the city. So imagine going to some of our neighborhoods and you just see these blue ordinance signs all over every door. And I personally have been looking at one for the 9 years I've owned my home in Elliott. Why? Why?
I can tell you.
Go ahead.
I mean, and just like you, and actually this day that I'm telling you this story about, so that this day there was a door knocker who was door knocking for Ed Gainey. I was door knocking. I was with Bobby, actually. Shout out Bobby. And we actually talked to a door knocker that was door knocking for Ed Gainey. We crossed paths. And we talked her into voting for Tony Moreno, actually. She didn't know anything that he stood for. But that day that we did that and that we talked to her, and of course she's like, oh my gosh, like I agree with everything you guys are saying. I talked to someone who was living across the street, and I've told you this story, but I'll just say it for the podcast here. There was a tree growing through the roof of this home, and I'm talking to the guy, and I said, hey, what's going on? Why doesn't someone buy this? What's going on with the blight? Because, I mean, that's one of the big things they talk about in these communities is all the blight. But the city can't find money for cops to clean up the blight until they get the black people out. Then the city can find money. Once they gentrify the neighborhoods, they can find the money. There's your local Democrats. But he said that that house, a few people on the street tried to buy it. $35,000 they wanted for a house that had a tree growing through the roof.
It's insanity. And actually, we are going to talk more about this insanity when we come back. But as Sam DeMarco always says, we got to pay the bills. So we will be right back. And we are back with Elephant in the Room on WJAS. And I am here with David Gearing. He's a City of Pittsburgh committee man and a young Republican. And this is Erin Koper. I am the chair of the Allegheny County Council of Republican Women. And we just had a really in-depth conversation, and we're going to keep this a little ongoing because we're not finished discussing, but we're just talking about some of the failures in the city of Pittsburgh with continued leadership from Democrats, because quite frankly, that's what it is. I mean,
leadership.
We are a one-party town, like a lot of our major cities across the country. But look at what's happening in California right now. It is, first of all, incredibly tragic. I mean,
it is.
It's sad. I mean, just seeing that Hollywood sign burning, it was so symbolic, even in a way, of just the failures of California. But before we get into that, because I would like to, you know, talk about how this is not just a Pittsburgh problem. Mm-hmm. This is a Democrat problem, because it just seems that we have these Democrats who are fiscally irresponsible,
progressive.
Progressive, yeah. They're reckless.
We've had plenty of great representatives. I mean, in the last 100 years, I mean,
I used to be a Democrat. We just talked about that. You know,
but these progressives are just killing us.
Yeah.
I mean, and in some instances, you look at California, literally.
Yeah, right.
Literally these killing us.
Well, right. I mean, who doesn't save rainwater? They have no water. They live by the ocean, and there's no water to put these fires out. But before we get into that, we just ended the last segment with the blight in our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I had talked about my potential run for the District 2 City of Pittsburgh council race. It's the only contested council race this election in 2025 in the
so
City
far.
Of Pittsburgh. So far. Council race. And it was a big mayor race as well. And a lot of the press has, you know, highlighted that this might be the year for the Republican. And it's actually, there was a political science professor that was quoted in one of the articles saying that anything can happen. He said anything can happen. It's because I had a little bit of name recognition with the Republican National Convention, because I called out this failed leadership from Mayor Ganey, Congresswoman Summer Lee, and County Executive Sarah Enamorato. I called them out in front of the entire country. Mm-hmm. That is what we need right now. We need someone with a backbone who's not afraid to stand up to these failed policies, because quite frankly, we are tired of it. We live here too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, say, well, you know, you're a Republican and it's going to be really hard. Well, guess what? I'm a taxpayer. There's I believe a few thousand of us who live in the district. We're all taxpayers here. We did not vote for this insanity, and a lot of Democrats didn't vote for this insanity.
Nope.
So again, it's not, you know, we didn't vote for it, but we are on the receiving end of all of this hitting us. I mean, we're talking about the blight. I just said across the street from me, there has been a vacant home that literally looks like you could blow on it. It's like matchsticks at this point. It's so rickety. Like the porch is caving in.
Yeah, and if that's condemned because of structural issues, right. Now it's going to be, now as a city, and this comes into planning, this comes into the URA, which is, you know, I mean, totally incompetent. And they just absorbed the land bank, over like how many years, 5 or 7 years, they flipped 2 houses. How many million dollars, $5 million or something like that in funding to do almost nothing. But this comes down to how ineffective the leadership is all across the board. They're so worried about giving someone a safe space. Are you okay? How are you feeling? Is everything all right? Do you feel sad today? Do you need to go into a closet?
Creating positions. You know, Gina Paulus and I, she's the chair of our district too. We invited her on the show today, but she was not able to come. But we spoke a little bit before the show over mm-hmm. the phone, and she, you know, made a comment about they're creating these positions. Mayor mm-hmm. Ganey has...
It's all Fugazi.
Like, there's about up to... She said there's more than 10, maybe up to 20 new positions that are community leaders or jobs where they go in the community. I know one of them because mm-hmm. I'm a community organizer. But what do they do?
That's a thank you job. That's a thanks for the help job.
We don't know. And actually, that we had in my community we had a community yard sale, and 27 homes participated. It was really wonderful. We had a food truck. We had all kinds of activities, and that community person failed to provide a fire truck for our. But again, and then one of the other organizers made a comment to me, and it stuck with me. And it's to Gina's point. She said, I just don't understand what this person was supposed to do. That was their job to help us. And they're the community. They come to our meetings. Like, so we just don't understand what they're there for.
Look, we all know people that work for the city. And I'm a blue collar guy myself. I was freezing out there with you guys today. My hands were red. I mean, I came in here with like windburn on my face. I'm a blue collar guy. I'm not one of these, you know, I know we got a lot of Republicans that are, you know, the status quo, like what everyone thinks is everyone's an office worker, and we're a bunch of white collar guys over here in the Republican Party still, you know, working on the 30th floor or something like that. That's not the case. I'm a total blue collar guy. I support unions, you know, military, vet, all that. I don't fit the stigma that they try to portray upon us. But what I was saying before to you is that, you know, no one's held to account here.
Accountability and transparency,
to connect these two things, like no one's held to account as far as like what you just said about your community leader.
I think it's harder, whatever it is, to hold people in your own party accountable, because, and I'll say this, because when you're a one party town, it's my only common sense logic, and you are in your, it's easier for a Republican to come in. No one owns me. No one can tell me what to do. Like I'm not, you know, we're not hiring our friend, you know what I mean? We're not part of, mm-hmm. so I can come in and look at assess a situation from a different perspective.
Oh, they don't want a Republican in there.
No, because they take care of their own mm-hmm. in their part. So I just think it would be harder for them to mm-hmm. stand up to each other because it's all the same circle mm-hmm. of who supports who. Like, that's my only logic, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any real hard pushback.
Right.
Even that's some of the soft pushback is not really enough. And that's how we've gotten to the point that we're at now. But like what I was saying before, just to close on the blight thing, is maybe, let's say that house has been like that for 20 years, okay? If somebody would have been held accountable 20 years ago, someone that works here, say, what are we doing with this? Are we trying to charge somebody? Can we make this? Can we give someone a deal to do something with this house? Or are we going to let it sit here for 20 years until someone now has to pay to demolish it mm-hmm. to have a plot that you may or may not be able to even build on at this point? So now not only have we lost 20 years worth of tax income and school taxes, right? We have all these problems with the schools right now. They're shutting down all of our schools. You know, I went in and I spoke about that a few months ago. But we have all these issues. So there's a compounding effect of not getting 10 or 20 years worth of taxes from some of these homes. And the blight in these neighborhoods, I've lived in Pittsburgh my entire life. I grew up in Mount Washington. And the blight in some of these neighborhoods has been there for decades since.
Oh yeah, this isn't just a.
I went to summer school in Shenley.
But again, so when I go, I've lived in the district for 16 years total, 9 years specifically in Elliott. I've owned my home, and when I go outside the city and I tell people where I'm from, a lot of people know Elliott. A lot of people knew someone who grew up, went to school, with all of the things. Elliott used to be even more amazing than it is today, and. And Sheridan has gotten hit hard with mm-hmm. a lot of this failed policies, and they've been taking a beating. And the people that live there love their neighborhood. They try so hard to mm-hmm. keep it and keep the crime down on their end by just being vigilant and aware. And they they have programs over there for the youth, and they try so hard, but it's like swimming upstream yep. for them. And they, you know, and that's what I don't understand.
As a citizen, you can only do so much exactly. if the city's not willing to help.
Right. But I think my point is that you now have people, and we saw a lot of this at the public hearing for the zoning amendments. Mm-hmm. These women were probably, you know, around my mom's age. My mom's going to be 85. They're probably in their 80s. They had their 3 minutes to speak at that public hearing with tears in their eyes because they've watched decades and of this deterioration. And now we're at this pivotal point. We're at an inflection point. And which way are we going to go? And someone from that neighborhood actually reached out to me and just said, and she's a Republican, but she said, you know, I just don't understand because they just keep voting for the same over and over again.
Well, you know,
but you have a choice now.
Well, now, see, so yeah. now, hopefully, you know, by my math, I think we have probably a half dozen, I would say, county council seats that are up for grabs. I think we have a few in the city as well, city council, that are up for grabs. I'd like to see us produce a good slate. I'd like to see us focus and concentrate where we know that we can compete and try to take something home this year or this election cycle, rather. But a lot of people that, you know, I go out and I say this kind of stuff to people, and, you know, like normal Democrats that are willing to listen, they're willing to hear what you have to say, and they say, we're presented with no other options.
Right.
And now we're trying to give them some options.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I feel like the overall morale gets down that way. I feel like people just feel like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's this enthusiasm because I've had business owners just recently reach out to me, which I would never think we had this many Republican businesses in our district.
Businesses.
Okay. Hmm. Businesses. Right. And so I'm actually, when we get done with this segment, I'm going to call one of them and set up a meeting tomorrow morning because I think they're just excited because they know, because they're Republican, they know what we are capable of bringing to the table.
Well, look what's happened in the last three election cycles. The change as we've built our committees, the city committee, but also the neighborhood committees. I want to give everybody their flowers as far as the hard work that they've done to build certain districts up, and they're doing a really good job. The amount of boots on the ground that we've had and the amount of voter contact that we've had really good messaging, just really telling people the truth. I mean, the thing about us, at least locally, I'm not going to speak for, you know, we're talking local. This isn't a national thing. This isn't a Donald Trump thing. This is District 2. This is Pittsburgh. Right. This is Allegheny County we're talking here. At least locally, I can speak for our group and our people in our committee. And I can say that we're just looking around. You know, I mean, there's a whole situation here where, you know, the emperor has no clothes, right? We're just looking around and we're just talking about what we see. And everyone sees it. But a lot of people, especially people that are in office right now, they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to have to be. Nobody wants to be dad. Nobody wants to hold someone accountable.
People just want their roads fixed. Mm-hmm. They want their sidewalks fixed. They want the blight to go away. They want, you know, the trash to be picked up, you know, without making. The biggest complaint in my neighborhood right now is we do live on a big hill and it is windy and things tip over. But the garbage trucks, when they're putting the garbage in the back and then it's spilling out onto the street, and we have these trash cleanups, but you know, we're being directed to call 311, and it's just a cycle because nothing ever happens. And I'm a community organizer. Every monthly meeting we're talking about the same things, and these are the basic needs of the neighborhoods, right?
Well, yeah,
and they're and let's talk about the salt. We are out. How is the city of Pittsburgh out of salt? It's only January.
Not a serious governing organization.
Right.
They're not serious people. I mean, but here's the thing. I've talked about this with some of our local elected officials. And, you know, once upon a time, you had to prove yourself in one way or another to get into elect. You had to prove that you had succeeded somewhere in doing something.
I agree.
You had to show that, hey, you know, I had a good result somewhere. I made a difference. I made a positive difference somewhere. So now I want to come in and I want to be a leader and I want to help my community. I want to help my, you know, district. I want to help my county, whatever it is, however big or small your area is. And now, I mean, as far as the far left goes, the progressives, it's just how big of a victim am I, or how many minority points do I check off? Am I gay enough? Am I this enough? Am I that enough? Because that's all they pick people on.
They definitely check boxes.
They don't pick people based on ideas. I don't care what you have going on. I want to know what you're going to do. I don't care if you're a man or a woman.
Exactly.
I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what your ancestry.com looks like. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is, what's your idea? What are you going to do different? And what about this? Sell me on how you're going to make it work where no one else could. And you just brought up businesses, right? Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about businesses, and we've talked about this just in our committee meetings, but you know, we're all getting hit with tax increases. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting hit with tax increases, right? So right now you have Ed Gainey and company, let's call them, because I mean, they're all in for Ed Gainey. So you have city council and Ed Gainey, and they're trying to turn downtown, as he campaigned on, to give him his credit, into a neighborhood. They're trying to fill those open commercial buildings with housing. Brother, listen to me. You got 10,000 plus empty houses in the city of Pittsburgh that the city owns. Go fix those up. If you put people, and I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm just a regular guy here. If you put people in all the commercial property, you are, here's what I'm hearing you say. I give up on business. We're never bringing business back to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's never going to be a corridor where we're going to attract new growth and new business and
Ed
new
Gainey
ideas.
Said in an interview, I believe it was over a year ago, he said word for word that downtown will never be the downtown of before.
But he's an idiot.
We had all the stores and we had all the memories of shopping at Macy's and Saks Fifth Avenue. He said that is never coming back. He said it, guys. He said it. And now we're up again to vote for, you know.
He's not a serious person. So like when you hear someone say that, though, you don't believe it because you're like, okay, maybe one person is that dumb out of the whole thing. But you don't think that he can get more than half the city council.
Listen, he proposed for the budget to cut the overtime pay of first responders, police, EMS, and fire.
Disgusting.
Okay, let's look at just in 2025 alone what has happened in the January 10th? The 9 days that we've been in 2025, we had two attacks on American soil were emergencies. And then we have a crisis in California. Half of California coast is burning down in part of California. So, and these are failed policies and these are first responders. And what if something happens, God forbid, in the city of Pittsburgh?
It's not what if, it's when. Well, it's what are we going to do when something happens? Because that's what this kind of failed leadership goes towards. I mean, it goes towards, you know, nobody is competent at their job. And this is from what I've read, you know, I mean, it's been a busy few days, as you know, but from what I've read about California, this is just people that are high up that are supposed to be making very, you know, high level decisions. And no one got there based on merit. So everyone's an imbecile. So what do you expect to happen? Like, we filled the room. Like you have so many smart people and maybe you have one person that doesn't know what they're doing or two people or three people. But once you get to a majority of people that don't know what they're doing, like this isn't rocket scientist. Hey, we have a certain amount of commercial space in the city of Pittsburgh. Let's try to attract businesses back. We have 10,000 plus empty homes. The URA has between $800 and $900 million to work with. Work with it. What are you doing, right? There are homeless people. Right. Most of them have, just to put it out there, most of them have a drug problem or they have a mental health problem. Because I will say that the city and the people that are involved with trying to help out with the homelessness situation over the past 5 to 8 years have definitely done a pretty good job of trying to have services and trying to get people that want help some help. And that is amazing. Some of those people, I don't care what your politics are, you've done a great job. And I commend you for it. But there are people that don't want the help. So what, are we supposed to just let them bathe at the point? Like what you saw 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, you had this guy, David from Mount Washington. Oh, well, the solution's not to arrest them. What is it, to give them a stern talking to?
Or create more parks where they can camp?
Grab them by the ear?
Right. Well, what's interesting about that is that when I did the encampment clean out last year, and we did that with the permission of the people that lived in the camp, and actually two of the men who lived there stayed to help us clean. And let me just tell you, I had tears watching because they were cleaning up their own mess, you know, and it was sad. And there 100% is like a mental illness there, because how do you, you know, you could see it. I could see it in the pain in his eyes. It was very sad. And one of the women who lived in the camp, she had left for the day and then came back, and I gave her some coats and winter coats, old ones I had. And she was so appreciative. And then I got to talking to her and I said, you know, why, you're a woman and you're around my age. I said, and
what's going on?
Well, yeah, she told me she has a mental, she said she has a severe anxiety and depression issue. And she said that going into a shelter, she can't do it because she's too afraid of being raped or just being around people that are going
to
harm her.
We need to find
She'd rather
ways.
Live with rats in a landfill covered in needles than go to a shelter. And that's been
Insane.
Another issue. But there has to be a solution.
Well, there is. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. There has to be. Why can we not support funding for these great, you know, Light of Life, right? They are one of the best outreaches that we have in the city. They do amazing work. Why can't we grow that and let them do more good work? Mm-hmm. Can we expand on what we already have instead of creating bigger government?
Mm-hmm.
And these programs like Prevention Point that handed out in 2023, they handed out 1.7 million needles in the city of Pittsburgh. Now do the math. How many people live in the city of Pittsburgh?
206,000.
How many needles a day are you handing out? And and we're cleaning them up. They're plastic. First of all, it is a public safety issue.
It absolutely is.
And it's an environmental issue. Mm-hmm. We Republicans, we get this, you know, they paint us as we don't care about the environment. No, we actually do care about the environment.
And we're just serious about it.
Yeah.
we don't partake in the greenwashing
stream. There is a stream right behind that camp at the bottom of the West End. And the rats were, I mean, it was trickling over to the stream. So it's going into our waterways, this junk. And these Narcan, and still in packages.
Yeah, and it's all over the parks,
but
too.
But it's chemicals. The Narcan is a chemical. It's going into, it was in embedded into the land, okay? That is not good. And then you look up, and my neighbor has her house right there. I was mortified for her to know that she lives so close. It was right below her house. And the other candidate, that David, he lives about a mile away in the other direction from that. Where were you? Why did, like, you know, it's like we prove through action that we are serious about these issues, that we care about the environment, that we care about public safety, that we care about the people who are choosing to live like this and live there. We want better for them. We want them to go back into society and be a part of working society.
Well,
we don't want to see people 25 and under, which is, and I've told this actually into a reporter, an article, I said, most of the ones that I've spoken to are 25 and younger. How?
Right.
You have your whole life ahead of you. Yeah. And you know, like, how are we getting here?
Yeah. My church actually, so we have a serve group at my church, and we've gone down and we've packed backpacks and stuff like that. And we've gone out and we've handed this out to people, and we try to pray for them, and, and, you know, we try to hear their story. And, you know, if you can do something for someone, maybe we do something for someone, but if not, at least, you know, someone's willing to treat you like a human being for a while, and they're willing to talk to you, and we try to give them some supplies that we think they might need. But I think one of the big differences here, Aaron, is just it is such a difference in ideology. Well, my ideology for empathy is not to, what is it today, 20 degrees, 15 degrees, something like that. I don't think empathy is watching anyone of any age lay out in the street in their own feces with needles and with heroin and with all these other drugs and kill themselves. I think empathy is you arrest them, you bring them into maybe a special wing of the court, the jail, and you dry them out, and then you try to get them into a rehab facility and you put them in that system. Or if they need mental help, which a lot of these people do. That's why they're not going into the homeless facilities. You get the mental help, but what we don't do is we don't enable them. That is not empathy. I'm sorry.
Well, I agree. And I think we're going to be seeing big things from our Attorney General, Dave Sunday. I know his focus is on the cities, and Pittsburgh is, you know, one of the major cities in Pennsylvania. And I know that one of his plans is to go after these drug traffickers. So I think when we cut off the source, and then we can really start getting in there and help people and turn their lives around.
Yeah, we don't hate these people. And that's where we get a bad rap. Like, I want to arrest people. Yeah, because they're addicted to drugs.
Right.
And they need a warm place where they can eat, where they can be safe, where they can get clean.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they need. That's empathy. Empathy is not watching them kill themselves out here in a 10-degree winter in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Come on.
I think there's so much work that needs to be done. And I really hope that voters are educated this time and to see, you know, really look into the candidates and see who has been doing the work and who has the energy to continue the work and who has the, you know.
And who wants to change things?
And who wants to change things and who has the, you know, savvy to stand up, you know, to them and then get things done, you know.
Any Democrat running, I give you this challenge. You get on social media and you tell us, and when I say us, I'm talking about your district, your constituents. You tell us who you disagree with that is in county council, that is in city council, and the mayor himself. You tell us what you disagree with and what you are not going to go along with. Because if you say you are here to change things and you're going to do something different for the people in your district, you get on there and you tell us exactly what you don't disagree with, who messed what up, and what you're going to do differently.
I like that challenge. And I'm personally always up for a challenge myself. And again, I will be continuing to have a big announcement at the end of the month. And stay tuned. And we have an exciting inauguration coming up. So I hope everyone that's going, you stay safe. And if you're not going, I hope you guys take some time that day to watch it and just celebrate. And I also wanted to talk about the retention of the Supreme Court. Please vote no. And we'll get into that maybe another show and more about local races. But it's been amazing talking with you today, David. We covered a lot of things.
Absolutely.
And again, Sam, we wish you well. You've been a great mentor to us.
Good luck, Sam. Thanks for the work.
Thank you. And that's another day on Elephant in the Room.